The following episode is over 15 years old. With that in mind, the views and opinions expressed within this episode may no longer represent the views and opinions of myself, nor those of my co-host, my lovely wife, Karen. In other words, opinions can and will change over time. Listener discretion is advised.
Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for another Just Another Fanboy Classic episode. Today, we travel back in time 17 years to Friday, May the 18th, 2007. In the episode, Karen and I talk about the upcoming 2007 fall TV lineup, the rising prices at the local gas pump, an injury that Karen sustained, and I even managed to talk about some comics. It's all here in episode number 38 of Just Another Fanboy, Volume 1. Enjoy!
You're listening to Just Another Fanboy, the only podcast that's part of your balanced breakfast. Just Another Fanboy is a Lynx Broadcasting production and a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
I apologize for that. I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book!
Welcome to episode number 38 of Just Another Fanboy, where we talk comics and anything else that kind of pops into our heads.
Just a bunch of other stuff. Hi, I'm Karen.
That's my co-host. I'm Steven.
And hello to all you faithful listeners.
We're running a little late this week.
We are running a little late this week indeed. I had to watch Boston Legal on Tuesday night when we usually tape. I said, babe, well, first of all, I thought it was the season finale.
And it wasn't.
And apparently it wasn't because there were scenes for next week. So I said, I have to watch it with the rest of the world. I have to be part of it. And yeah. He said, okay, yes, dear.
I think we may start recording on Wednesdays anyway.
Yeah, probably, because that works out better for me, but I guess. But
tell them what happened last night.
Well, I'll get to that. So I'm not done talking about Boston Legal, which I'm not going to talk too much about. But I thought it was the season finale because it's the one where Denise gives birth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's usually how you end a season, something like that. So I apologize for thinking it was the final one, and I had to be part of it because that means next week I'll have to watch the final one.
That's all right.
So then we were going to do it last night, and I was spending time on the computer, just hanging out at my favorite message board and playing Pop It. And I apparently had sat there for a while. I usually sit sometimes cross-legged. And when I was finished and I logged off and I went to stand up and go get ready to do the show, my left foot did not work. Apparently, even though it was not tingly and did not feel numb, it had fallen asleep and would not hold my weight. And I just, it gave way and I crumbled and my coffee went flying and my ashtray went flying and
fell down and went boom.
I fell down and went boom and cried. I mean, I don't think I've cried because of pain since I was a kid and like wrecked my bike and tore my knee up. It was so bad. I nearly hyperventilated. And I said, get me the green bowl. And it's an old big green Tupperware bowl that my mother had when I was young. And she used to, you know, carry salads in it to potluck dinners and whatnot. And now it is known as the puke bowl. So it's the green puke bowl. So if any of you have that light green, you know, if you remember that from days gone by.
Big old giant.
Yeah, we don't use it for anything, but.
Simon doesn't like to see it.
No.
No one to green bowl.
When he's sick. He knows he needs it handy, but he doesn't like to look at it because it means he knows he's going to throw up. But anyway, I don't know if Abby from upstairs heard the commotion or if she was just coming down anyway. But, you know, Stephen had, I said, I need water because I needed a drink really quick. And you went to go get me a glass of water and ice in a bag. And she came down and just saw me laying on the floor alone with my kind of leg up in the air. And Mom, are you okay? I think I'm going to hyperventilate. I need a brown paper bag. And luckily, we didn't have any, but she had just bought something from a store that puts their little items in popcorn bags.
Yeah.
So it didn't smell like popcorn or anything. So she brought that to me and I laid on the floor for a while, probably scaring you two quite a bit.
Very much.
Because I was going to hurl and I thought I seriously for a while thought I'm never going to use this foot again. It hurt so bad. But anywho, so I was in too much pain, really. I thought I was going to die.
And I stayed home from work today because you couldn't even walk on it this morning.
No, I tried and it's my ankle that had swollen up to, I would say really compared to the other one, almost, not quite, but almost the size of a tennis ball, like half of a tennis ball. Now it's more like an egg, but it hurts mostly. It's most tender to the touch in the soft tissue part, on the top of my foot. So I don't know what's going on. We debated about whether to go to a doctor or not. I'm usually a give it a day or two kind of person when it comes to illness and injury. So, it's not feeling nearly as bad because you did stay home and wrangle the children while I got to just lay on the couch with it propped up and iced all day long. So it is improving. You went out when the kids were napping and got me an ACE bandage, which I've put on. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. And if it doesn't feel better, then we'll go to a doctor and have it x-rayed. I thought, as long as I can put some weight on it.
Yeah, it's not broken.
Yeah, well, that's what I assumed. You know, as long as I can put some weight on it, nothing can be broken. But then a friend online, you know, who's a paramedic type person said, that's not necessarily true and you should get a picture of it. But we'll see. We'll just see how it goes next couple days.
I got to give you props.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I don't stay home too often and handle the kids by myself. But when I do, it's a tough job.
Yeah,
you do
you
it
suck
every
at it.
Single one. Well, I don't know if I'd say I suck at it.
Well, you can.
I'm all right.
It's hard to balance.
I lose my patience quickly with
these
kids.
Well, that's because anytime that you're home, that should be some downtime. And so you try to, I know the kids' schedule and behaviors well enough that I know when I can squeeze downtime in to sit in front of the computer and whatnot. You do it when you feel like you want to. And yeah. In my head, I'm thinking,
what's
not
he doing?
A good time.
What's he
Simon's
doing?
Gonna blow any minute, you know. Palin's gonna be cranky here and you know, I know them well enough to know when I can sneak in my me time. And I know how to, you know, balance some of the housework pickup time so it's not all left to the end of the day. But yeah, when you're not used to it, it's gotta be hard. And it makes me feel good that I can do a good job at it.
You're an incredible woman.
But I would suck at your job as much as, you know. It's what you know. It's what you're conditioned to do, you know, whatever you do. But yeah, thank you for the props because that always does make me feel better because, you know, how hard can it be, you know, to. This is why you never have ironed shirts. This is
exhausting.
Why you wear wrinkled. Craig, this is why he wears wrinkled shirts to work every day.
Craig doesn't listen.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Well, never mind then.
He's not.
But I'll get them washed and I'll get them in the dryer and I'll get them out of the dryer, but don't necessarily get the ones that don't need to be ironed hung up so they lay in a bundle and they get wrinkled. And then the ones that do have to be ironed, you know, the ones where the buttons are, that part kind of curls up. You never wear those unless you're desperate because they're always a mess. But that's why I don't have time to iron.
Well, I got a couple of announcements before we get into
first
the shoe.
Of all, I'll be okay, so don't worry about me.
Yes.
Okay.
Send your sympathy cards.
And you have to go to work tomorrow, so I got to be on my own. And my parents they're older, but they're not really elderly. But my mom she banged up her knee a while back, and she had a walker. So if it hurts pretty bad, I may borrow that, because I don't care how old it makes me look. You know you're old when you'd rather use a walker to alleviate your pain than hobble around attempting to tolerate your pain because you don't look cool if you use a walker. I would rather be out of pain.
And it was really hard for me, for the two of us, you know, for me to try to help you around because
we don't know how to do it.
Well, you're so much smaller than I am. You know, I'm not a big guy. I'm not tall. I'm about 6 foot, but you're just small. We don't line up shoulder wise, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah, we didn't know how to do it. Which do I lean on your left side? Do you carry me on my right side?
We'll have to practice that. So next to come
in the future when I'm injured, we'll know the best.
I about just scooped you up and carried you around.
Oh, that would have been so officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, but I would have banged your ankle on doorways. Anyway, I got a couple of announcements before we get going here.
Okay, let's get going here. Enough about me.
For next week's episode, I thought of a little item that I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to get all my faithful listeners involved in.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with comics, but I find people's various personality quirks very interesting. And I'd kind of like to talk about that next week, or maybe we could save it for episode 40 to give everybody plenty of time
to
submit some stuff. So maybe we'll plan on this for episode 40.
Because that's a fun part. Well, could be a fun part of the show is non-comic book related feedback stuff. That's just everybody. It's everybody's stuff that we can talk about.
Let me give you an example. Cause
you have to define quirks.
I have
they could
many,
be considered pet peeves and you're not really talking pet peeves.
Well, I have many personality quirks and let me just give you an example.
Okay, baby.
Our restroom at work has a paper towel dispenser. When you're washing your hands and you want to dry your hands on the paper towels, you just reach under the old paper towel dispenser and you pull out the paper towels one at a time. And what I find is when my hands are wet, the first few paper towels, I always end up tearing a corner off as I'm ripping it out. And I just refuse to dry my hands on a paper towel that's not fully there. So
a lot of trees have to die so that your
can
be.
That's right.
Oh, my.
So it's kind of an obsessive compulsive behavior to a certain extent.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
So
maybe a little bit.
There's the cat.
That's the cat.
So let's we'll plan on that for episode 40. Submit your own little personality quirks.
Your personality quirks, things that you.
What do you, you know.
Not necessarily obsessive compulsive things, because everybody's got a little something they could say. I don't want to hear that you have to turn your light switches off and on.
Well,
and
sure,
that kind
I do.
Thing.
That sounds like fun.
Okay, well, never mind.
Just little odd things that you do day in and day out that maybe you feel that nobody else does and make you, you.
Okay.
Let's talk about them.
I don't have any quirks.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
You'll have to tell me. Oh.
Okay. The cat's a meowing.
Okay,
so
you talk about your next item and I'll try to hobble out of this chair and hold on.
Next up is a new segment I'm going to be adding to the show called Steven's Out of the Box Comic Book Review. This is pretty much a ripoff of, Derek Coward's segment he has on Comic Book Noise. He does what he calls the random comic book review. His is very scientific to a certain extent because the way it sounds is he has all of his comics. He must have them on a spreadsheet. He keeps track of every comic he has and he uses some mathematical formula or something to just randomly pick a comic that he's going to review. And so a number pops up and he says, okay, that's this certain issue from this certain comic book. That's what I'm going to review next week. Mine, on the other hand, is not as scientific. What I'm going to do is, maybe a few hours before we record, I'll just head up into the attic and I've got about maybe five or six long boxes that are not sorted. Full of,
you've got more than that up there.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, non-sorted.
Yeah. I just have, I'm very bad at getting my collection together. And so I've got about five or six long boxes of unsorted, unbagged and boarded comics. And so a couple hours or so before each podcast, I'll just walk up to the attic, reach my hand in, grab a comic, and that's what I'm going to review.
So that's a cool idea.
And I'm doing that for tonight. So we'll be talking about a comic tonight, Out of the Box Comic Review. I also wanted to talk a little about listeners' feedback. Normally, every week, the listeners' feedback we tend to get is mainly through the message board. And you and I had a conversation about this.
Yeah, we did.
Tuesday before we recorded because...
Before we were going to record.
Yeah, before we were going
before
to record.
Before I got hurt.
Yeah.
No.
No, this is Tuesday.
Day. Okay.
Yeah. So my...
It's all about me.
My thought is I feel kind of silly just reading comments that people put over on the message board because, frankly, if you want to... You know, if you want to know what people are saying about the show on the message board, you can go to the message board. It's a public forum. That's the point of it. So what I would like to do is if you want to submit your thoughts or ideas or something you want read out over the show.
On the show.
On the show, email it to me at justanotherfanboy@gmail.com or use the voice line, which the number will be in the show notes.
Okay.
So.
And whereas I was thinking, if we limit listener feedback to only emails and voicemails, there isn't going to be any, or not much. And that's one of my favorite things is,
well, we'll see how it works out.
But your idea is that if we address people's issue or comments and questions on the board, that way, but only use the podcast to address the other ways, then maybe people will be more inclined to leave emails. Yeah. But that's asking a lot of the people when they're used to a certain thing. So
But in return, you know, when I put up a an episode and people start posting about it, you know, my first instinct is to reply to their posts on the message board.
Mine too.
But then I kind of say, well, but I don't know. I kind of like to read that. Yeah. So I don't know if any of the listeners are like,
I thought for 3 weeks or whatever, I was ignoring her question about the Yellow Brick Road in Liberal, Kansas, because I wanted to wait because I missed a couple weeks.
But so, they know if they post on the board for Ask the Fanboys, they should know that we're not going to address that on the board. That is a thread primarily for the show.
Yeah. But I was thinking, because I knew I wasn't going to be on the show. So I thought, you know, for a couple of weeks. So I should go ahead and answer that. And I really debated that, whether I should reply to her so she didn't feel ignored since I wasn't around. But if I left you hanging there, Rachel.
Well, if you post a question over to Ask the Fanboys and we don't get to it right away, we will get to them.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, we haven't had any for this
week. I like questions like the general miscellaneous questions, especially that one about if we were commies.
Yeah.
That's funny.
If you have something to say about the show that you want us to talk about on the show, that you want us to read out, or you want to, you know, send a voicemail, email us, send a voicemail, it'll come on the show.
And things can be funny and silly or personal. And if you want to discuss a serious topic, a public interest topic, that'd be great too.
We're open for anything.
Let's talk politics and religion and really stir things up.
I don't know about all that. I don't want to be too controversial.
No, that's true, but, you know.
And speaking of which.
Oh, no. About controversial?
No.
Okay.
About emails.
Okay, good.
I got a couple emails from a kid named Drew.
Hey, Drew.
So, Drew, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are.
And we thank you.
We'll talk about you when we get to listeners' feedback, my man.
Yeah.
So, I talked a couple episodes ago, last episode or so, about my friend Craig.
Who doesn't listen, apparently. What a nerd.
He has been dying to spoil Countdown 51 for me.
Is that still going on with you two? Still haven't gotten your books?
Well, the Wednesday, I get my books twice monthly shipping.
Right.
So the first week of May came and went. And the second week of May came and went, and that was when issue 51, the first issue of Countdown, came out, and he was dying to spoil it for me. And I kept telling him, Craig, I'll get my books on Friday.
Right.
We work together on Saturday. We'll talk about it on Saturday. And if for some odd reason I don't get my books that Friday, then you can spoil it for me on Saturday.
Injured.
So I get home on Friday after the second Wednesday of the month. No comics.
Right.
I was like, well, crap. I guess that means I'm not getting them till Monday. So I go online. I go to the website where I order my books, and there's nothing in regards to shipping my books. And I couldn't figure it out. Then I realized there's 5 Wednesdays this month.
Yeah.
So my first shipment will be the first 3 weeks of May. Mm. So because of that, I was kind of panicking. I'm not going to have a pick of the week to talk about this week. But then I remembered. Free comic book day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I've got a big stack of comics here.
Are you going to review all of them?
I'm not going to review all of them.
Jeez.
I got a big stack of comics here.
Yeah, you do.
That I, through my people, got some, even though I didn't participate in Free Comic Book Day, I still managed to get a big old stack of comics.
4.
Here. So I thought what I'd do is I'd review one or two of them, go through and tell you what I got and my thoughts on the ones that I've read. Because I haven't read all of them yet. And
wasn't there something in there that I might have enjoyed? Something kind of, I thought they picked some.
Owly.
Oh, yeah. The one that you read to, tried to read to Rana.
So, but I tell you, this is really my first year experiencing Free Comic Book Day. And I've realized what a bad thing it is for me. Because that I participated this year because it introduces me to a lot of books that I can't buy because I can't afford it.
I know.
And it just angers me. So,
well, I feel the same way about a lot of stuff too.
But hey, you know,
that's just the way the world is.
But I'm shameless. So, and I ain't too proud to beg.
Okay. Are we going to start asking for stuff again?
If you want me to read more comics, if you want me to read comics, then you can donate to the show through PayPal, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. Send me some money.
That'd be great.
You know what? And I'll even say this. If there's a certain comic book out there that you want me to buy that I'm not buying because I can't afford it, and you are
didn't
willing
you kind of do that with
to
your
send-
challenge thing.
Yeah, but that
nobody ever.
But you're willing to pony up the scratch. You can say, hey, I'm sending you $3 a month for you to pick up this particular book.
We will totally
book.
Spend that on something else.
I would, no, that's, how would we, that's not right.
No, but you get $3 in your hand. You're going to save $3 till the next time you go buy comic books. No, we're going to use it to get.
Just add it into the budget.
Okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be better if people just sent you comic books. That way they're sure.
Yeah, or they
whoever
can do it
wants,
that way.
Whoever it is that wants me to read Sabrina, I want to. So that, you know, gosh, I guess we aren't too proud to beg. But, you know, some people out there have money and they can spend it.
Yep.
We're just not those people. You know, we do okay for a family of six on a limited income, but, you know, other people.
And speaking of money.
Consider us a charity. Maybe we could be a write-off.
Yeah.
God, this is really pathetic. We should edit all of this.
No.
Okay.
Speaking of money, I've been doing this podcast now for 38 weeks. And I have yet
that's pretty cool.
to make mention of the high price of gas. But I went and filled the tank of the van just the other day. And then
which always takes a lot anyway, because we always let it get down to nothing.
I have to say something about this, because I went to fill the tank in the van and gas was up to the minivan. Gas is up to $3.09, $3.10 really,
that's,
you know, because it's
freaking crazy.
309.9.
I can only imagine what it's like in places like New York and LA.
The very next day, I had to put gas in my Toyota, a little 9-gallon tank. $3.20 a gallon. The very next day.
Oh, God, that's right.
The very next
that's
day.
Outrageous.
$3.20 a gallon.
Well,
it cost me $31 to fill up my little Toyota.
Well, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, really, because I don't have time for that in my life. I understand that some people are, and that there is a good factual stuff behind it and all that. But when it comes to this, I you know, does it have to do with the war? Probably. Does it have to do with the oil that we're trying to get from over there? Probably. But we need it. So what are we going to do? It usually has to, anytime the president's rate or, you know, numbers get really, really low,
gas prices shoot up and then
so that
he says something about it and then they go down. My thought behind that,
you know,
though, is
kind
of.
And that's okay. That's the way they do it. But it's like we kind of know that because it's what happened last summer and like the summer before. So we're on to it. So quit messing with us and just leave them low. And we'll like you a lot more if you can do that than if you make it seem like you've done something huge.
See, but my thought process behind
and
it
I'm
is.
And I'm a Republican. So
it's kind of similar. But I think what they're doing is I think the oil companies are saying, all right, for this quarter, we want gas to be up to about $3 a gallon. So what we're going to do, so it doesn't really anger people too much, is we're going to really quickly shoot it up to like $3.50 a gallon. Everybody's going to be really angry and upset about that. You know, it was $2.75, but we're going to shoot it up to about $3.50. And then in the next coming weeks after that, we'll lower it down to about $3. And then people will be like, well, at least it's not $3.50 like it was.
Right.
And not realizing, but it was just $2.75 a month ago. They're happy with their $3 a gallon because at least it's not $3.50.
It's crazy. They're messing with our minds. Whatever it is, just knock it off because we all need the oil. We all need the gas
to get
our jobs, to be able to make an income, to be able to, you know, be part of the I don't even know what I'm saying.
I am going to go on a little.
But we can buy things that helps the whole whatever.
Well, I am going to go on a little political rant here because it's very disturbing that in this country.
I can't put my thoughts into words. It must be the pain.
It's very disturbing that in this country, in a little over a year, gas prices can jump up from $2 a gallon to $3.20 a gallon. And yet in the last, I don't know how many years, decade or so, the minimum wage has not gone up a penny.
Yeah.
You know, for a low income family who budgets in a certain amount each month for gas, who then all of a sudden has to budget an extra $100 a month because gas prices have gone up.
I thought that it was going to go up again.
It may.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
But I remember the last time I remember it was, like 99?
Well,
I mean, the year?
I don't know. I think
so. Not quite
longer.
10 years. No, because I, well, maybe no.
Because
I remember when it happened. I remember where I was working when it happened.
When gas prices go up, everything else starts to cost more because you can't ship. You have to get your products into the store.
Exactly.
And they have to go by truck. So shipping prices go up. So then you have to raise the prices on the products. But yet your employers are not paying their people anymore to.
Somebody out there who's an economics aficionado as well as a comic book fan is probably listening and thinking, y'all just don't get it. Or you're right, it's sucky, but here's how it works. So if you know the ins and outs of that, let's have a conversation about it. You know, somebody who knows what's going on, because the rest of us are just, you know, little peons.
I don't care.
You got to take it.
This makes me mad.
It makes me mad, too. It's unfair.
It makes me mad that less than 5 years ago, I was able to spend $10 to fill up my tank, and now it costs me $30. It just, you know, and
it's
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about it anymore, because it's depressing.
Let's talk about something happy.
Okay. What's happy?
So I had to go to Walmart the other day. Okay. And you wanted me to take one of the kids to get him out of your hair.
Yeah.
I wanted to take Rana.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
She's a good girl in town.
I love my boy. Mm-hmm. But
he's crazy in town.
When we had our tax returns, we got really bad about buying him a toy every time we went to the store. And so now
they go without so much throughout the year.
Yeah. We like to really spoil him when we have the money. So, but he's gotten used to it. He just expects when we go to the store, he's getting a toy.
Right. We did that damage.
Well, we don't have any tax return anymore. It's gone. We spent it.
Yep.
And the last time I took him to the store, he threw such a fit that I caved and bought him a toy.
Mm-hmm.
Because my thought process behind it is I'm not one of these parents that when their kids start screaming and yelling, I can just say, all right, we're leaving, and just leave my cart full of stuff there and drag this kid kicking and screaming out of the store. Because A, I hate to admit it, it's embarrassing for me.
Yeah, well, sure.
B,
we need the stuff in the cart.
Yeah, we need the stuff in the cart. That just means I'm going to have to drive the 20 minutes to get him back home and then get back in the car and drive another 20 minutes back to the store and do it all over again. Plus, in this day and age, you start dragging a screaming kid out of a store.
You're not my daddy.
Exactly. You know, how do you prove the kid is yours? Yeah. Really?
Simon isn't quite that smart yet, but
can't do that in a quick way. You know, if a cop comes up and says, are you kidnapping this child? And you say, no, prove that it's your child. That's going to take a few hours. And I don't want to deal with that. It's easier just to buy him a $10 toy. But
we can't. You're going to have to bite the bullet on that at some point.
So, well,
or otherwise we're raising a spoiled kid, and I can think of a couple that I know who are like that, and I don't want our kids to be like that.
Well, so
it's just harder with Simon, because once he with his autism, once he's used to something, change is hard for him to deal with and to understand. The communication is not. Yeah. Well,
but so this last time, I want to take Rana, and Rana decides she doesn't want to go. And so
until she realizes Simon's going, then she wants to go, and it's not her turn anymore.
So I'm like, I'll take Simon. But I sit Simon down. I say, okay, buddy, you and I are going to go to the store. But here's the thing. I am not going to buy you a toy. And he says, okay. And I said, but if you're a good boy, I'll get you a treat, which is usually a bag of Skittles. And so he's all right. And I said, okay, so are you going to ask for a toy when we get to the store? No. Is daddy going to buy you a toy when we get to the store? No. So what are you going to get if you're a good boy? I guess Skittles. And I said, okay. So we get to the store. He's being a very sweet boy. I make the mistake of taking him by the toy aisle. I'm not realizing where I'm at in the store. Next thing I know, go that way, daddy.
Don't they have
go that way.
Coffee on the same aisle as toys or something need?
No, I had to go to the hardware department to get something. And then I had to go by the toy department to get over to the grocery area. Oh, daddy, go that way. Go that way. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, but I'm not buying you a toy. So we can look at toys, but I'm not buying you one. That was a stupid thing to do.
We used to be able to get away with that. They liked to look at toys and without having to get anything.
So we go down the toy aisle, and he starts telling me he wants a Transformer. Now, this is making me kind of angry, because when we had the money and we'd go into the store and I'd tell him I was going to buy him a toy, I always said, let's buy a Transformer.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any Transformers. So let's buy a Transformer.
He wanted something else.
You know, this is cool. It's a car, but it's also a robot. No, he didn't want that. Now he wants a Transformer.
Yeah.
And I want to buy him a Transformer because I think they're cool. I want a Transformer too. I know. But I can't afford it. And so.
That's why I like to buy Rana like Polly Pocket stuff. Yeah. She doesn't care, but I think they're so cute.
So he starts screaming and yelling, and I realize I'm going to have to buy him a toy. But I'm just going to buy him something cheap.
Yeah.
Something less than $10.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Transformer that's about $7. Mm-hmm. It's a motorcycle. Transforms to a robot. Yeah. But he decides he doesn't want it.
Oh.
He sees a poster of Spider-Man with a Sandman.
Oh.
He wants a Sandman. Mm-hmm. So we get him a Sandman. It's less than $10. I say, fine, I'm getting you the Sandman. I hand it to him and I say, I hope you understand that I am never bringing you to the store again.
It's never going to be your turn again.
And he goes, okay. And so we're walking around the store and I'm trying to make this little four-year-old guy feel guilty. I said, I hope you're happy, Simon.
He doesn't get that. He doesn't get that concept at all.
I said, because daddy is very,
very
sad.
He's very literal.
I said, daddy's very angry. Daddy's very sad because now I can't bring you to Walmart anymore. I can't bring you to the store anymore. I hope you're happy. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, he doesn't get sarcasm, honey.
But to cut the story even shorter than it already is long, he ends up not getting the Sandman because we go to the bread aisle and there's some little powdered donuts over there and he sees those. Oh, I want those, daddy. I want the powdered donuts. And I said, you already got Sandman. You're not getting powdered donuts. I want the powdered donuts. I said, well, how about we put Sandman back? Okay. I kind of went, what? I said, all right. So he hands me Sandman. I put it over on next to the powdered donuts. I grab a box of donuts, stick them in the cart. Sandman cost about $8. A donut cost about $2. I said, all right, we're coming out all right. We get to the end of the aisle, though, and I stop and I said, now, Simon, I want you to understand what you're doing because I don't want to get to the register and have him realize he doesn't have Sandman and start screaming.
Freak out.
I said, I want you to understand what you're doing here. You put back Sandman so you can get donuts. Is that what you want to do? That is what he wanted to do.
Okay.
Of course, we get home and he wants to show you his new Sandman.
Yeah.
I said, Simon, we didn't get Sandman. You got powdered donuts. Oh, can I have powdered donuts?
Yeah.
So he had powdered donuts.
Yeah.
So he was happy.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. My name is Steven, and I'm the host of a new podcast called The Comic Book Show, the podcast that's a show about comics. Each season of The Comic Book Show will be dedicated to one storyline, story arc, or miniseries, one issue per episode. And it all starts with The Man of Steel from DC Comics, a six-issue top-to-bottom reboot of Superman following Crisis on Infinite Earths that ran from July to September all the way back in 1986. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Mess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
Yeah, kids are funny. I enjoy them.
And I tell you, little Palin, we don't talk about the girls too much.
No, and David, your brother, mentioned on the boards that we should talk more about Palin, but she's 1.5.
But she has, just in the last week, has been going through her I love my daddy phase.
Yeah.
And I have been loving it.
Been soaking it up.
She has just been all over me, hugs, kisses. Daddy
I love
this,
it when
Daddy
any
that.
Of the kids give us a hug and then their little tiny fingers are patting us on the back,
she does
too.
That a lot.
That's so sweet.
She's very much a hugger.
Yeah, she's a good girl. But her older siblings taught her, apparently, the word mine. So from our sweet little precious child, we hear, mine, mine. And she doesn't even really mean it. You know, she'll say it when she just wants something.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
She'll see a magnet on the fridge.
Mine. It's very annoying.
So before we get into the news, I want to make mention of one of our listeners, DeFixer 3000. I've mentioned before, he's got his own podcast.
Yo, yo.
DeFixer's Hideout. I think they're up to episode 11, which I am almost through listening to. And I've listened to one here and there. I feel really bad because I'll start to listen to episodes and I just simply don't have enough time in the day to listen to all the great comic book podcasts that are out there. And that's all I listen to is comic book podcasts.
That's cool.
Because I can't, it's like buying my comics. It's not that I can't afford them. It's just that I don't have the time to listen to all these great podcasts out there. But I've been trying to make time to listen to DeFixer's podcast.
Good for you.
And I'm listening to one, I think it was episode 8, and I get to the end of it, and right at the very end, they do best in podcast for the week. And they talk about two or three podcasts that they've all listened to for the week that they like. And they mention Just Another Fanboy. And I'm like, huh?
Rock on.
And so then I realized, because then I went back to some of the others that I hadn't listened to and listened to the ends just to see. And sure enough, 80% of the time, they're talking about us.
That's
and a couple
so
others.
Nice.
So it makes me feel really guilty.
You're not sending out that same kind of.
And from what I've listened to,
that's just an oversight. That's not something you.
Yeah, because I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't have the time to even go in on their message boards and comment about them. And I always feel so guilty about that because I feel like I'm part of this community, but I'm not doing my part. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand.
And I'm trying to be better about that, but, I am listening to Fixer. I'm listening to your show. I really enjoy it. It's basically him and his friends just sitting around talking comics, and not just comics, TV, movies, anything that makes their little fanboy hearts flutter like the wings of a tiny birdie. And I'm listening to it just yesterday during my lunch break, sitting outside, and you feel like I felt like I was sitting in the room with him.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really fun.
That's nice.
So it's not for the kids.
Okay.
They tend to cuss a lot.
You got that, Drew?
So, Drew, if you're listening,
don't listen to
you
that.
You probably shouldn't listen. I hate to say it. You shouldn't listen to his show because they cuss a lot. But I don't think.
And no matter how cool you think you are, cussing from younger people is not attractive. And
I don't
it's
think
not going to help you, you know, in your life. It really isn't.
I don't think they're aiming their podcast towards kids, though.
Okay.
So. But DeFixer's Hideout, look for it because it is a good show. It's on iTunes. I can't remember the URL off the top of my head, but they run about an hour and a half to 2 hours per episode. And like I said, they've added a female on there to get
good
a female's. She's into a lot of the comics and the sci-fi TV and whatnot. So it's a good show. Check her out. All right. You want to do some news?
Go right ahead.
News and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort.
London, Madrid, Bangkok, Moscow, Cincinnati. From the four corners of the world, from the news capitals at home and abroad, the day's headlines brought into focus, the issues and events that shape our time. WKRP, Information Beacon of the Ohio Valley, presents Les Nessman and the News.
First on the menu, some DC news. Sean McKeever is named as the new writer for Teen Titans. Now, Geoff Johns has been writing Teen Titans for a while now, and it was announced a month or so back that he was leaving, and Teen Titan fans the world over went in mourning. And it was announced that Adam Beechin was going to take over. And that kind of made everybody feel kind of good because he's been writing Robin, apparently doing from what I understand, a great job. I don't read either of those two titles. But now it seems that Adam Beechin is heavily involved with Countdown, I guess. And so he's not going to be able to do the Teen Titans. And so they've announced that Sean McKeever, we'll be writing that. Sean McKeever comes from Marvel Comics, most notably known for his Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane title. He likes to do teen stories about teens. So this may shape up to be a really good book. McKeever will join Jeff Johns, Marv Wolfman, Mike McCone, George Perez, Todd Knock, and other creators for August's Teen Titans number 50 Jam issue. And then he's on his own with number 51, joined by artist Randy Green. So who are we going to see in this new Teen Titans book? Well, we got the lineup's going to be Robin, Miss Martian, Wonder Girl, Kid Devil, Supergirl, Ravager, and the Blue Beetle. And there's a great issue, a great interview with Sean McKeever over at Newsarama. So go check it out. If you're interested to see what he might be thinking about doing with the title, check out Newsarama for his interview. That's another book that I would like to get, but can't. So send your money. It was announced this past weekend in Bristol that Garth Ennis and John McCrae will be reteaming for a Hitman story. They did a Hitman comic for DC back in the 90s, which is really good about a hitman who took out metahumans. DC has
what?
Metahumans, superhumans.
Oh, that's what.
Yeah, he was a hitman who people paid to kill superheroes. Yeah, well, superheroes, supervillains.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
DC has confirmed that the project will be a 3-issue miniseries called Hitman JLA and will debut sometime after August. And it seems that if the miniseries does well and makes lots and lots of money, then maybe DC will bring the Hitman trades back into print and possibly complete the collection, because for some reason they haven't traded all the issues from Hitman and people have been very upset about that. So good news for Hitman fans. This October, AAM Marcosia Enterprises will release Beowulf, the graphic novel. Written by Stephen L. Stern, best known as one of the creators of the cult favorite Zen Intergalactic Ninja, and illustrated by Christopher Steiniger, the graphic novel is a cinematic retelling of the Beowulf story that remains faithful to the original material while adapting it for a modern audience. Now, AAM Marcosia Enterprises is a UK-based publisher of comics, graphic novels, and novels. Since its inception in 2005, the company has published a variety of licensed properties, including Starship Troopers, Shadowmancer, Heretic, and the Lexian Chronicles, as well as many creator-owned titles. Beowulf, the graphic novel, is a 64-page black-and-white graphic novel. It will be published with two alternate covers, both by rising talent Christopher Steiniger. That sounds kind of interesting. I've always been interested in the Beowulf tale.
Beowulf. Hey, what do you call a seagull that flies over the bay? A bagel.
Wah, wah, wah. Lastly, Gary Frank has signed an exclusive deal with DC and will begin his contract by penciling Action Comics, giving me that reason I've been looking for to not drop the books. I've been thinking about dropping this book, and now I'm not, because I'm a big fan of Gary Frank. On DVD this week, Wings Season 4, 4-disc series. Did you find anything that you found interesting?
I really didn't.
No, not a big week, but
I don't have anything much of interest. I don't know. It's been a weird kind of slow week.
I'm a big fan of
celebrity gossip. Doesn't have me interested. So
I'm a big fan of Wings.
Oh, I know you are.
I've already got the first disc of the series from Netflix.
So. Yeah, we've enjoyed a little bit of that today. Well, that was made up.
Well, that's your news and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort. So let's do my comic book picks of the week. As I said at the beginning of the show, I don't have any new comics, but I do have a big old stack of comics from Free Comic Book Day. The two main ones that I was really excited about was The Astounding Wolfman number 1 from Image Comics and an issue of The Amazing Spider-Man from Marvel Comics. I'll talk about those in a minute, but let's run down here real quick what I got. From Dark Horse, The Umbrella Academy. This also has a couple other stories in it. The Umbrella Academy, I really enjoyed. It's written by Gerard Way with art by Gabriel Ba. Very interesting little superhero story. I'd really be interested in picking this book up if I could afford it. Maybe I'll see what I can drop. This also has a story from Pantheon City, right? Written by Ron Mars, artist Clement Suave, and Zero Killer, written and lettered by Arvid Nelson with Matt Camp on art. Now, Pantheon City looked very interesting. Apparently, it's set in the future, and there's some kind of robot running amok.
The cover looks very Nightmare Before Christmassy.
Yeah, the Umbrella Academy. The next thing I got up from AP Entertainment, Pirates versus Ninjas.
My.
I actually enjoyed this. It was pretty fun. I don't think I'll be picking up the book itself because it's been out for a while. They've actually got an ad here for the first trade, but there's a new sequel coming out in July, but I don't think I'll be picking it up, but I did enjoy it. It was a pretty fun little read. Next, from IDW, the Transformers official movie prequel issue number one. Didn't finish it. The Little Archies from Archie Comics. Haven't read that one yet. Unseen Peanuts from Fantagraphic Books. The first thing I did was just stick that sucker in a bag and board. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. It features over 150 classic previously lost strips from the 50s and 60s. So if you're a Peanuts, you know, Charlie Brown fan, that looks pretty good. The Virgin Comics Special, which I started to read and just went, put it down. Nexus from Rude Dude. I haven't read much Nexus. I read a little when it was through Dark Horse. I read through this. I kind of enjoyed it, but I don't think I'll be picking up any Nexus books. Comics Festival 2007 edition. Haven't read that.
I mean, look, that looks very simple on the cover.
Wahoo Warriors. But
in a very, kind of a Old Navy commercial kind of way.
Yeah. Wahoo Warriors from Two Hip Gotta Go Graphics. I haven't read that yet, but it looks kind of interesting. Liberty Comics from Heroic. Haven't read that. From Devil's Due, we got the Hack Slash. Family Guy. Haven't read that yet, but I'm looking forward to reading Hack Slash.
What is up with this book? Because it's one thing on one side and one thing on another side.
It's just a flip cover.
Well, that's confusing.
Yeah.
You got to turn it upside down.
Well, it's like this one, this IDW, it's got Hack Slash here. So the first half of the story is this Hack Slash story, but then you got to flip it over to the other side.
Is that pretty common?
To read for Free Comic Book Day, what I understand, yeah. But I haven't read that yet. The Bongo Comics Free for All 2007, some Simpsons and Futurama stuff in there. Haven't read that yet, but I'm looking forward to reading that. The World of Aspen. Worlds of Aspen from Aspen Comics. Haven't read that yet. Looks kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be into that. From Renaissance Press, Amelia Rules, hanging out. I started to read this to the kids, actually, but they didn't find much interest in it. But I need to sit down and read it because the first six pages or so I read, it was very funny.
Good.
Very funny book. So to finish that.
Characters.
The Marvel Adventures 3-in-1 with Marvel Adventures titles, Iron Man, Hulk, and Franklin Richards. I got this for Simon to look at. He hasn't had a look through it yet, but I haven't read it. Owlie.
Yeah.
This is from Top Shelf Productions. And this I got primarily for the kids, and we sat down during our story time before they go to bed, and I pulled this out to read to them and then realized
not a lot to read.
There's no mostly, words.
Yeah.
There's
mostly pictures, and the kids aren't quite old enough to follow a picture story.
I'm trying to explain this to them. Then I realized, they're not getting it, but I read through it. It was really cute. It was a really cute little story. So
kids would want to color. Yeah, it looks more like a coloring
book. And then from Tomorrow's Publishing, Comics 101, How To and History Lessons from the Pros. I read all the stuff that had to do with writing, which was really interesting. I like Tomorrow's. I've picked up one of their issues of Back Issue that they were giving away for free. And I'd like to pick up Back Issue. I'd like to pick up Right Now. They produce some good magazines. But let me talk about the Astounding Wolfman from Image Comics here. This is written by Robert Kirkman. The penciler, inker, and colorist is Jason Howard. Russ Wooten is the letterer, and this is created by Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard. Basically, what you've got here is issue one. Gary and his family are out on a camping trip, and Gary apparently gets mauled by a bear. And he doesn't die, and it shoots, that's like in the first two pages, and it shoots forward a month later. He's in the hospital. Everybody's concerned about him. At one point, he turns into a wolf man, sneaks out of the hospital, does some killing. Comes back, wakes up, and he's fully healed. And so they shoot forward again another month, and he's back home with his wife and daughter. And you find out that he is a, I don't know if he owns the company, but he's very wealthy, and his company isn't doing as well because he was in the hospital for a month. And then he has this astounding recovery, and people are thinking that it's part of a publicity stunt to get the shares up. So he's dealing with that. He's dealing with trying to be a father to his daughter and a husband to his wife. And in the meantime, you know, it's another month later, another full moon. He turns into a werewolf. He goes out and he kills a rabbit.
Yeah.
And his security cameras catch it, and they realize that's him, because he wakes up and his shorts are all torn, and they're watching it on the surveillance cameras. The shorts he's wearing are the same shorts that the Wolfman's wearing. And it ends with some creepy guy that just kind of shows up. That's like, hey, you know, you want to talk to me because I know what's happening to you. I know a thing or two about the supernatural. I'm here to help you. And it ends.
Oh.
So I am picking this one up.
Okay.
This is one that I've dropped a book so I could start getting this monthly. It wasn't, it didn't hit me like JSA number one did. When I read JSA number one, I knew I had to keep getting that series, but it was still good. I did enjoy it, and I'm going to be picking the series up. The other book I really wanted to get from Free Comic Book Day was from Marvel Comics. It was The Amazing Spider-Man, featuring an all-new Spidey adventure written by Dan Slott, pencils by Phil Jimenez. Andy Lanning and John Dell are the inkers. Jeremy Cox is the colorist. And Virtual Calligraphy's Chris Eliopoulos and Corey Petit are the letterers. This is just a done-in-one story. It's beautifully drawn by Phil Jimenez. And basically, you've got Peter Parker, who is it's set on May the 5th, which was when Free Comic Book Day was. And he's going to meet his Aunt May for his birthday, and he's got this very nice cake. And apparently he hasn't been doing the Spider-Man job for a little while, and he's feeling the freedom of it. And he's almost run down by a motorist who's actually a new supervillain called Overdrive. And he decides, well, I'm going to have to put the costume on and stop this guy. And he webs the cake up to a wall, gets into his costume. A great two-page shot of Spider-Man. He goes to the windshield of this guy, Overdrive, to find Spider-Man memorabilia all over his dashboard. This guy is apparently a huge Spider-Man fan, and at one point even tries to get Spider-Man's autograph. As they're doing battle, there's a bar that they call a bar with the bar with no name, a secret location where New York's supervillains hide, hang out, and shoot some pool.
Cool.
And they're all sitting around, and they're watching the news coverage of what's going on with Spider-Man and Overdrive, and they start taking bets on who's going to win, you know, if Spider-Man's going to beat him or if the guy's going to get away. But of course, Spider-Man beats him. And then he goes back to get his cake because he realizes he's late for Aunt May's birthday. And then he realizes, wait a minute, my webbing doesn't dissolve for over an hour. I can't get this cake down.
Oh.
So by the time he gets the cake down, the party's over. But Aunt May comes home to find him asleep on the couch with this kind of beat up cake sitting there. And she's very happy. So it was a nice issue. I'm really hoping that after J. Michael Straczynski leaves The Amazing Spider-Man, that Dan Slott's going to start writing it, because I've only read two books that Dan Slott has ever written. One was The Thing, which anybody who read The Thing knows that it was a great book, and it was a shame that it was canceled. The only other book I've read by him is Avengers Initiative, and I've only read the first issue so far, and I really enjoyed. So if he does take over for J. Michael Straczynski, I'm going to be staying on Amazing Spider-Man because I like Dan Slott as a writer. So those are my picks of the week.
Fantabulous, hon. All right. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let's let me locate my notes here and move along in the show. All right. I have some TV news to talk about. I was going to include it in the news section, but there's so much here that I wanted to.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I was just looking through that. May have to jump around a bit.
Well, within this last week, the three big networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, have released.
Sorry, I just yawned.
They've released information regarding their new fall lineup. So I thought maybe we'd go through these shows real quick and see what interest is. From NBC, the first one we got coming up here, which is something we're both very interested in, Heroes Origins. This is a spinoff of Heroes, which will begin airing in its Monday night time slot when the series goes on hiatus. The new series will focus on fresh, never-before-seen characters. NBC will also include an interactive element via NBC.com where viewers will select one of the heroes from Origins to show up on the following season. So it's going to be, I think,
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be six episodes focusing on characters we've never seen before. Just these new characters with superpowers, and whoever gets the highest vote is going to show up in season two. And it's there to kind of help bridge the gap between season one and season two. So you're not left for an entire, you know, season of reruns with no new episodes of Heroes. Next up from NBC is Journeyman. This is a time travel drama. San Francisco newspaper reporter and husband/father suddenly travels through time, changing people's lives and reuniting with his former fiance. This will be on Mondays, and it sounds a little like Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Next up is Chuck. It's a comedy spy thriller. A computer geek opens a government email and downloads a server full of confidential data into his brain, which makes him an unlikely secret agent fighting international terrorists.
That could be awesome if it's done well.
It has to be on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays from NBC, we have The Bionic Woman. Action sci-fi. Jamie Summers is back in this updated version of the woman who is given extraordinary powers and tries to use them for good.
I wonder who that's going to be.
Oh, I...
Did it say?
Yeah, but I didn't recognize. They even had a picture. I didn't recognize her.
Okay.
Next
somebody new, given a chance.
Well, I don't think she's new. I kind of recognize the name, but I didn't recognize the face.
Well, you have to show me later.
Next up for Wednesdays is Life. This is a cop drama. A detective is given a second chance returning to the police force after spending years in prison for a crime he didn't commit.
That's an interesting storyline.
On Sundays, we have Lipstick Jungle. This is a comedy drama. A dramedy based on the novel by Candace Bushnell about three high-powered friends who are successful and stand by each other during life's struggles.
They're trying to be Kinda, Sex in the
City. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as a mid-season show, the IT crowd, that might be the IT crowd. It's a comedy. Comedy based on a British comedy about the overlooked techies who work for a large impersonal corporation. And the last, I guess, series we got comedy that was based off of a British comedy was The Office.
That's what I was thinking. So, sounds a little bit maybe like that, but...
For ABC, on Monday, we have Sam I Am. This is a comedy. An accident leaves Samantha a victim of amnesia, and she must face that her previous self was not well-liked.
Yeah, I saw a commercial for that. I think that's Christina Applegate.
Yeah,
we'll see.
On Tuesdays, we have Carpoolers. This is a comedy about four guys from different backgrounds who enjoy their commuting time together as they bond and discuss their lives, women, and jobs.
That could be good.
Yeah. This one, next one sounds kind of hokey. Tuesdays, Cavemen.
Oh, no.
Inspired by the Geico commercials, a buddy comedy about three modern cavemen living in the suburban South who seek their place in the world.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Wednesdays, Dirty Sexy Money, a drama soap. An idealistic lawyer takes over his father's practice after his mysterious death and gets drawn into the world of the firm's wealthiest and most powerful client, the Darling family.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see.
Private Practice, on Wednesdays, a medical drama. This is the spinoff of Grey's Anatomy that features the character Addison Forbes Montgomery, who moves to Los Angeles and enters a posh private practice with two med school friends.
We'll have to give that a try.
Yeah, I didn't watch the spinoff episode yet. I'll have to catch that online.
That was pretty good.
Because we like Grey's Anatomy.
We really do.
So
yeah, missing it tonight.
Yeah, I missed the last 4 weeks. I'll have to try to get those online through abc.com.
I'm sounding kind of blah right now, but I'm starting to feel a little more of the pain in my foot. So I'll try to give you my umph, but it may not be here, hon.
We'll get to people. This.
Okay.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. Do you like comic books? What about comic books from the 70s? Well, how about sword and sorcery comic books from the 70s that feature a certain barbarian from Sumeria who seems to spend most of his time wandering the earth, scoring with babes, and fighting wizards and monsters and such? If all of that sounds fantastic, then come explore the Hyborian Age and tread the jeweled thrones of Earth with me, Stephen Orr, and the Hither Came Conan podcast. Together, we'll look at Conan the Barbarian, the Marvel Comics series that began in 1970, one issue at a time, along with any other Conan comics I can get my hands on. Subscribe to Hither Came Conan now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enough talk!
And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
Also on Wednesdays for ABC is Pushing Daisies. This is a romance crime show. The drama centers on Ned, who has the extraordinary ability to make dead things alive again just by touching them, including his deceased girlfriend. The twist is that if he touches her once more, she'll be dead again.
Oh, man.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
For Thursdays, a drama called Big Shots. The line gets blurred between the boardroom and the bedroom in a new outrageous drama about four dysfunctional CEOs who will do anything to stay on top.
Mm.
No.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Fridays, a drama mystery called Women's Murder Club. Based on the novels by James Patterson, four San Francisco professional women, a detective, a district attorney, a medical examiner, and a reporter band together to solve murders.
Hmm. On Fridays, there's not a lot on Fridays, so that might be worth it.
For mid-season, we have a comedy drama called Cashmere Mafia. Four successful New York women in business rely on their friendships to see them through complex personal lives.
What does that sound like? Sounds like another wannabe Sex in the City.
Another mid-season is Eli Stone. It's a legal drama. In this drama, a San Francisco lawyer thinks he is a modern-day prophet after seeing hallucinations.
Okay. That'd
be interesting. Another mid-season, a comedy called Misguided. A guidance counselor is employed by her former high school, and upon returning, finds her old nemesis, the cheerleader, is the new English teacher who is glad to remind her of her unpopular past.
I don't like shows like that.
And then last mid-season from ABC, Oprah's Big Give. 8-episode competition show where Oprah will give millions of dollars away to people who will make a good difference in other people's lives.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't think it's up to one person to determine the level of good.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of good and make a good difference in somebody's life on a very small level, and it won't be considered big enough. So.
And for CBS, on Mondays, The Big Bang Theory. This is a comedy. Brainy best friends who can tell you anything you want to know about quantum physics, but when it comes to dealing with everyday life here on Earth, they're lost in the cosmos.
Mm.
Tuesdays, Kane. This is a drama, an epic drama about the external rivalries and internal power struggles of a large Cuban-American family running an immensely successful rum and sugar business in South Florida.
That might be interesting. I could probably get into that.
I think it's got that dude in it that took over. He was on NYPD Blue after Rick Schroeder left. You know, because they had David Caruso, and then Rick Schroeder took over for David Caruso. And then I can't think of the guy's name. Jimmy Smits.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thought you were thinking of Because didn't then Zach from Saved by the Bell take over?
Yeah,
too?
Maybe Jimmy Smith.
Not sure what order they were all in, know. But yeah.
This next one, I find this very interesting, and I'm not really into reality shows, but this is a reality show for Wednesdays. It's called Kid Nation, a reality-based series in which 40 kids will have 40 days to build a new world in a ghost town that died in the 19th century. These kids, ages 8 to 15, will spend more than a month without their parents or modern comforts in Bonanza City, New Mexico, attempting to do what their forefathers could not, build a town that works. That sounds pretty interesting. I think that might be kind of fun. For Fridays, a supernatural drama called Moonlight. This show follows Mick St. John, a captivating undead investigator who uses his acute vampire senses to help the living instead of feeding on them.
You know, some of these, it just sounds so bizarre, but they could make really good shows. Yeah. It could be, you know, you got to come up with something new. I understand that. Because all of them, even though they have a basic, you know, storyline, they're going to still be the same old shows, you know, that yeah. don't, which are good, which will be good, I'm saying. Because that could be that, really weird, but they'll just make it. I don't know.
Some of these you can already see trailers for online, so look for those.
Oh, I might do that.
For Sundays, we have Viva Laughlin. This is a mystery musical drama.
Mm.
Ripley Holden is the ultimate gambler with an infectious personality who is on the brink of making a killing. Just as soon as he opens his casino, that's nowhere near completion. This is based on the hit BBC show Viva Blackpool. And last for CBS is a mid-season. It's a drama called Swing Town. Peeks into the shag-carpeted suburban homes of the 1970s to find couples reveling in the sexual and social revolution that introduced open marriages, women's liberation, and challenged many conventional wisdoms.
No.
I don't think so. All right. So that's what you can look forward to in the fall.
And I heard that George Lopez was canceled.
Yes.
And maybe The Apprentice.
Yeah, I think The Apprentice was canceled.
Yeah, but
I should have made a list of all the ones that were canceled because I was quite shocked by quite a few of them.
Do you remember any others off the top of your head?
No, not off the top of my head.
Man.
I know that Friday Night Lights is coming back.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be on Fridays.
That would be nice. That makes a lot more sense.
Well, let's move on to Steven's Out of the Box comic review.
This is going to be fun.
What is your favorite thing in the world besides your wife and baby?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait. Tell me about comics.
Tell me about comics.
It's over prime.
I used to play foosball for comics. He gave me a Wolverine hologram card.
Comics!
One shall stand, one shall fall.
What?
How's it going?
You gonna wash your hands?
No. Because I'm evil.
Comics!
Okay, this week, the book I have chosen randomly is from Image.
And seriously, you just reached
it? Yeah, okay. I just walked up there and grabbed a book. And this is Super Patriot number one from Image Comics. It has a cover date of July 93. The credits on this, creator and scripter is Eric Larson. Plotter and storyteller, Keith Giffen. Penciler slash inker is Dave Johnson. Letters done by Chris Eliopoulos. The colorist is Laverne Kynzierski. Color separation done by Digital Chameleon. And the editor is Janie Wong. Okay, the issue opens up with these two, detectives, plainclothes cop type guys who have come to the scene of what appears to be 47 Klan members burning on crosses.
Ew.
Okay. And then it switches to the Pentagon, a sub-basement below the Pentagon, where we find Shaft from Rob Liefeld's Youngblood talking to some weird scientist guy. And they've come to look at Super Patriot, who apparently was in the world of Image Comics back in the 90s. He was their Captain America. They don't explain a lot in this issue. I think maybe they might have gone into some explanation of who the Super Patriot was, maybe in some Savage Dragon books that Eric Larson did. But basically, he's now kind of a cyborg. And they run him through like a virtual reality test where he's killing the bad guys, and then he comes up against the Savage Dragon and he just freezes and the Savage Dragon kills him. So it's all like a danger room type test. And you find out that basically when he comes up against a metahuman, something's happened to him that when he comes up against a metahuman, he just freezes. It's like he can't face it. So then we shoot to this, this weird secret society, whose name I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm trying to find it real here. They're like the Covenant of, I can't find it. But these are the guys that apparently set fire to all these Klansmen, the Covenant of the Sword. And so the government decides they're going to send in Super Patriot after him. He shows up on their little beach and starts going up against all the robot drones and whatnot, and is taking them all out. And then this big, weird, rocky metahuman guy pops out of nowhere to take him on. Super Patriot looks at him, and in his eyes, he sees Savage Dragon. And then it says to be continued. This is all right.
Okay.
It was all right. I mean, this was back in the heyday of Image Comics, where pretty much most of the guys that went over to Image Comics were trying to build this world, but it never really felt like they were all in the same universe, even though they tried crossing their characters over and whatnot, but they all had their own little pocket. And Eric Larson had his little pocket, which was the Savage Dragon, Freak Force, Vanguard, and then the Super Patriot. And I like the idea of Super Patriot. I don't really like the look of the character too much, because basically he just has these robot legs, these robot arms, has a human body, and then maybe a robot face that is covered by a mask with these two like binocular Google eye things. And his arms just morph into guns with endless supply of bullets. I don't know where all the bullets come from.
That would come
in handy. Yeah. But I remember reading an issue. I don't know if it was in Savage Dragon or one of these Super Patriot issues, where he at one point pulls out this can and screws it into his arm, and you find out that it's a can of whoop ass. And it makes a big gun. But the best part about the issue are the ads at the end for some of the other books, because the one that springs right up here at the back is a two-issue spread for a Rob Liefeld book called Profit.
A two-issue?
Two-page spread. And Rob Liefeld's a nice guy.
Okay.
But he was very much back in the 90s, especially when he went over to Image, when he was able to create whatever the heck he wanted to. This guy must seriously have a case of ADD.
Okay.
Because I don't know how many friggin' books this dude produced through his part of Image Comics, but it seemed like every week there was a new ad for something. Like here, Profit, okay? You really don't get anything from this ad. Here's just this big guy in like a purple suit.
Yeah, kind of like a hairband.
Yeah, he's got one of these things that Rob Liefeld thought were real.
Spandex with big hair bands.
Well, it's like a face pillow. It's like this thing that frames his face that's padding. Yeah. And he's got these huge, big metal shoulder pads.
Well, those were very in.
Pouch.
That was the...
He's got pouches wrapped across one thigh. And he's holding two swords. It doesn't tell you anything other than this is a generic superhero.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, what does that say at the bottom?
Oh.
Sorry, I got to make you find it again.
Is he here to save mankind or condemn it?
Ooh.
This probably lasted two issues.
Yeah.
That's what Rob Liefeld did back then. It's like he was sitting around the house and he's going, okay, I've got this idea for a dude with cybernetic arms that turn into guns, and we'll call him Cyber, and we'll throw this generic costume on top of him, and I'll write an issue, and then I'll get bored and I'll do something else, you know? And that was one of the big downfalls of the 90s, but Super Patriot number one.
That was from your box.
It was all right. I'd give it a out of 10, maybe a 5.
Okay.
Maybe a 6.
So average.
All right. So Let's, I hope people like the out of the box. I'm liking it because I like the idea because there's so many books up there that I haven't seen in over a decade. And I think it's going to be like fun just to go up and just grab a book and go, why did I buy this book?
Well, that'd be like for a lady going through a closet.
Yeah.
Thinking.
Or pull out a book and go,
I have that from 1993. Yeah.
Or pull out a book and go, oh my God, I haven't read this in 15 years. This was awesome. Yeah. You know?
That'd be fun for you.
So it's my experiment in slowly sorting my comics one comic book a week.
Wow. Well,
so you'll
get there someday.
Well, just on that premise alone, we can do episodes for the next 3 decades.
Oh boy. That would be kind of cool.
All right.
You could do a podcast sometime when you're sorting through.
Yeah.
Just be, I don't know. I'm losing it.
Well, let's move along.
I'm so sorry.
Listeners' feedback.
Let's do that.
All right. We have 3 items for listeners' feedback this week, 2 emails and a voicemail. And there's one common thread that ties all 3 of them together.
Right.
They're all from the same guy.
They're all from Drew.
They're all from Big Drew. Okay, let me read his first email. It says, I'm a big fan of the podcast, and can you please talk about me on the show?
Doing it, buddy.
My name's Drew. I'm 13. I live in La Porte, Texas. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, La Porte. I love all superhero movies except for, I think he's trying to say crappy. Creepy. At first, I thought he was saying creepy, but then I think it's crappy. C-R-E-P-P-Y. It's just a typo. I think he's
saying creepy, not crappy.
Well, but he says, well, yeah, creepy dark movies like Constantine, Elektra, and Daredevil, especially Daredevil. But Daredevil wasn't really creepy and dark. It was just crappy. So that's why I thought said crappy. But he can expand on that later.
Explain yourself.
Because I hope you decide to talk about me on the show. It would really make my day.
So go ahead.
Drew.
Day. Let your friends hear it.
Yeah.
You are somebody.
Drew is the man. Drew is cool. Okay. Let's play his voicemail.
Play it. It's adorable. Right. Oh, I shouldn't say that about a 13-year-old boy.
Hey, Steven. My name is Drew Nugent. I'm 13 years old, and you probably got my other 2 emails, but I just want to call and see if you put my voicemail. I just want to tell you I love the show. Love it. I'm a fanboy of the fanboy. And tell Simon, I said hi. Tell Karen, I said hi. And tell Karen, I think she's the greatest co-host ever. You're the greatest host ever. And you got the greatest show. So thanks for making my days better with your wonderful podcast. Thanks, and bye. Oh, and hold on. I like eggs. Thanks. Bye.
Drew's bringing back the eggs.
He likes eggs. Good for you.
Likes eggs.
And hey, Heather, Drew's stepping on your toes here. Well, better get back on it.
This is the first voicemail that we've gotten a few weeks, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Drew. He had some nice things to say.
His last name is Nugent.
Yeah.
Are you related to Ted?
That would be awesome.
Ted Nugent. Is Ted Nugent your dad?
He probably has no clue who Ted Nugent is.
But people refer to Ted Nugent as the Nuge. So from now on, Drew, you are the Nuge.
The Nuge.
So let's read his other email here.
Another email, yeah.
Says, hey, Steven, my name's Drew and I'm 13 and I'm the biggest fan of your podcast. I just wanted to tell you that I had a school assignment in which I had to write a 10-chapter story, and I wrote it about superheroes. Also, we were required to have a dedication page, and I dedicated it to you.
Gosh, that's really sweet.
I can send you the chapters, and maybe you can read one on air. They're pretty short. Yeah, send them.
Do it.
Anyway, tell Simon I said hi, and tell Karen I think she's the greatest co-host.
Isn't that sweet?
The Nuge.
He's so sucking up. I love it.
Yeah, send them. Send them all.
Like send them via email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, send them via email. I'll read them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what I think is great about his name?
What?
Well, he should someday grow to be a comic book artist. Because with a name like Drew.
Drawn by Drew.
That's right. I think it's very interesting when people, not a one of them is coming to mind right now, but you know, people who end up having a career or whatever that is similar to their name. I think that's funny when
and you could always,
it happens, but I can't think
little,
of any.
I could see his little signature on the artwork that just says Nuge.
The Nuge. Drawn by Drew. I love that. So consider that my new buddy friend.
Well, thank you, Drew.
Thanks for all the contact.
Send anything you want. Emails, voicemails, whatever. Write some.
Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your friends to listen. Because we talked about you.
That means you're cool.
That does mean you're cool.
All right. You know what? Honestly, though, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Drew, but when I first got the email, the very first one, you know, you get an email like that that says, "Hi, I'm Drew. I'm 13. I love your podcast." And the first thing you got to think of is this really a real person? You know, is this somebody just screwing with me?
I'm
glad he'd sent the voicemail because. Yeah. You know,
that he's not just some,
you know, 60-year-old man with some weird.
Exactly. Cause you never know. The internet's a funny thing.
Yeah.
It's a weird, weird thing.
And I would have hated to get on here for like the next 19 episodes talking about Drew and then come to find out.
Cause it's very exciting to get to know that the younger people are listening because I know how much you aim for that. That's something you really appreciate. So that's great.
Yeah.
We keep you entertained and continue to keep you entertained, Drew.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
No, because you know what? I'm hurt.
You're ready. My
foot is in my it's starting to throb.
Tylenol PM.
I have to be up so early in the morning to hobble Simon off to his kindergarten.
I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah.
Because I've taken the Tylenol PM before.
Yeah.
It's only going to knock you out for maybe 5 hours.
So it's not going to be like NyQuil and make it hard for me to wake up in the morning.
Well,
that's like, I hate taking NyQuil when I don't feel good. Cause I used to love to. It was my favorite thing because it took care of all the itching, sneezing, sniffling, coughing, stuffy head fever. You have to get your rest medicine kind of thing. But, kids who get you up when they're babies at 5:30 in the morning, you can't be all doped up on NyQuil and sleeping through their cries. So you're saying with the Tylenol PM stuff, I won't have a hard time getting up.
No, not in the morning. No.
Okay.
I mean, at least with my experience, because my experience is the same with when I take NyQuil before bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it knocks me on my tuchus, but usually 4 or 5 hours into the night, it's like it wears off and I just snap awake.
Your eyes just pop open.
And I'm like, ugh, I still have this cold. I can't take more because I have to get up in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know? All right. So let's end the show. Remind you about the email address.
Oh, Simon's secret sound for the week is K.
K.
K, which has been confusing because he came up with on his own Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, and it's not. But try to explain to a four-year-old who's just learning how to read that, you know.
Kent starts with the K,
C, Clark
starts with
the K. Both make the same sound. And then, of course, we'll have things that have to do with night, which involves a silent K, which is also still confusing. So
So we're going to stay away from the silent Ks. I came up with Commandy, Boy of the Tomorrow, or whatever it is from DC Comics. But I can't come up with any other Ks.
Well, there's people out there who are good at it.
Yeah.
So maybe they will. But you know, if we tell you to stay away from the silent Ks, that will limit it quite a bit, I'm sure. But anywho, that's one thing.
Okay. I want to remind you about the email address, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. If you want us to read your feedback on the show, send it to the email address.
There you go. We're going to try that out.
Unless I have a huge cry from my small group of listeners that say, you read what I put on that board, boy, or I'm going to come to your little Kansas town and smack you in the noggin.
Oh my.
You know, then we'll start reading them off I just feel it's kind of silly.
Okay.
You know?
It's redundant.
Yeah, it is. It's redundant.
I gotcha.
Speaking of the board, be a member of the board, cgspodcast.com/forum, followed by the number 2, or you can just go to my website at justanotherfanboy.com. I wanted to say at gmail.com.
Oh,
www.justanotherfanboy.com and click on the link that says my message board, and that'll take you right to it. Register and post.
Yes.
That moment of silence was brought to you by the Marcel Marceau Institute of Learning. Leave an iTunes review. I haven't actually checked this week to see if there's any new iTunes reviews. Uh-huh. So last I saw, there were 12. But The more you leave, the higher in the rankings we get up to and the more popular we become.
And that's always cool.
Yeah. And let's follow Drew. Let's follow the Nuge and leave a voicemail on the Just Another Fanboy voice line at 1-877-309-8367, extension 212. You can find the number in the show notes. If you want to step up to the plate and be as cool as the Nuge, send us a voicemail. And I posted about this on the forum, but I'd like to just shout out a little
to yourself,
shameless self-promotion. If you're a fan of the Monty Python, I do run a Monty Python website at pythonland.com. The one drawback I found after 5 or 6 years of running a Monty Python website is there's not always a lot of Monty Python news.
Yeah.
You know, and that was when I was going to do this podcast. My first thought, of course, I'll do a Monty Python podcast. But what am I going to talk about each week is with Monty Python? Because there's not a lot of news.
Yeah.
And there's a finite number of episodes, you know. In episode number one, some really silly things happened and they talked about fish. That was pretty funny.
There's probably some out there like that, though, huh?
You know, there's actually not.
Really?
I can't find any Monty Python podcasts.
That's surprising.
Which feels like there's a niche that needs to be filled.
Well, and I maybe need to someday.
Jump on it, but I can't. I've been racking my brain, and I can't think of what would make an interesting weekly podcast about Monty Python's Flying Circus. But if you like the Monty Python, I do have a message board over there, pythonland.com/forums.
I haven't been over there in a long time. I've forgotten all about your message board. I wonder if they miss me.
I don't know.
I don't even know what name I go by over there anymore.
I think yours is Kiki.
It was like Kiki?
Yeah, but register over there. I do have to manually go in and accept registrations because I get a lot of spam over there, a lot of spammers who like to come in and put on the you know, porn sites. So the easiest way to keep them out of the board is to just go in and manually accept or deny every membership. But
and you probably can't get to that every day.
Well, and I do fall behind at times. I'm caught up now. But if you come over and you register, shoot me an email, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. Tell me you registered. Tell me your name. And I'll make sure you get on there as soon as possible so you can start posting. Join the forums with just a bunch of very silly people around the world. We've got members over there from America, from England, from Belgium. We've got them from all over the place. So come on over and join the fun. I post as Strangely Brown. All right.
Okay.
The theme song for the show, Shut It, Cat.
Come on, Sally.
I'm going to have me a cat burger tonight.
Oh, shush.
The theme song for the show is Comic Book by the Super Spies. Find it and information about the band at garageband.com. The rest of the music comes from the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And that's all I got.
Yeah. And it's 10:35. Do you know where your children are?
Because we don't.
No, because my daughter should have been home an hour ago. So not only am I in pain, now I get to worry whether she's just gone out to have fun or whether she's broken down on the side of the road somewhere. Gosh darn it, I hate teenagers for that reason. And sorry to my teenagers out there, but you know,
yeah,
call home.
It's 9 times out of 10. She's just probably out having fun.
Yeah, and she's 19 and she's totally allowed to do so, but a phone call is appreciated. So, now I'm in pain and I'm not going to be able to sleep until she gets home.
So in 20 minutes, I'll have to go out and look for her.
Yeah.
But until next week.
Love your kids, man.
I'm Steven saying word to the Nuge.
And I'm Karen saying yo yo.
And I'm just another fanboy.
And I love him.
Nuge.
Walking down. Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.